That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And it has, and good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We welcome you joining us on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. And we're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this cool Saturday morning, December 24th. And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we've got a couple of the men with us. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, sir.
And good morning, Zach.
Good morning.
So we don't finding C, but just about. And we welcome you, the remnant, for joining us. And got some interesting things, I think, to talk about this morning, but Jason, would you open us up in a word of prayer to start us off?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask for your blessing upon this program this morning. We pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us, Father. As we come before you this morning, we just cry out to you and say, here we are, use us, Father. Use us in a mighty and powerful way. And we just ask for your guidance and direction in our lives, and we pray that you guide us and direct us in all that we do, and that you strengthen us, and that you encourage us, and that you allow this program to be a blessing to your people across this land. We pray all these things in the name of all names, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we thank you for that. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
We'll see how the program goes. Maybe we'll get the phone lines opened up. Don't know. But Zach, we're going to go over and start with you. I think you had a couple things to get us started with, so we'll go your way.
All right, thank you. I had an idea that I proposed to Jason yesterday as far as something that I thought that should be talked about. Anytime I do have something that I feel that should be talked about, it's generally because it's something that I struggle with in my life. And, you know, and those that have been around the ministry a while, you know, Pastor Peters, there's a sign that Pastor Peters always said, the best sermons aren't preached, they're lived. And is this something that I have struggled with in my Christian walk, and I just thought that it should be shared. So I'm going to go to Matthew 21, verse 21, and it's Jesus speaking, and it says, And Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and it will happen. And in all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." And in my prayer life, I don't know if I feel that they have been answered the way I thought it should be answered, but the part that I want to focus in on is in verse 21, it says, if you have faith and do not doubt. Well, I have a bad habit of carrying doubt, and I believe it was kind of God showed me why this doubt was carried around with me. And probably 5-6 months ago, me and Jason were talking about this on the phone, and it was because I believed, I still remembered my sins of the past. And even when in my Christian walk, if I screwed up, then it was even worse. I mean, it just irritated me, and it just wasn't a good thing. So this past couple weeks, I was down in West Virginia working on a power line, because that's what I do for a living in the winter. And we got rained off one day, and I was sitting there watching the TV in the hotel, and I'm flipping through the channels, and I'm watching this TV show, and it was about the forensics and crime scenes. And why I watched it, I have no idea. But it's what happened. There was this one case where this guy got busted, like, 6-8 years down the road. And is what happened was he committed a crime. He murdered this girl. And he sold his vehicle that he transported her in. And the police tracked down that vehicle, and it was like 2 or 3 states away. And they sprayed this stuff, what it is, I don't know. And they found this girl's blood in there. And one of the things they said about it was, no matter how much time goes by, no matter what you do, you bleach, put acid, whatever, blood will always leave a signature. And I was sitting there thinking about it, and that's what I thought about the rest of the week, was that signature that was on there and how that applies to our lives when we're baptized. That blood of Christ always leaves a signature. So when we were baptized, it's gone. So as we go on into our lives and we continue on, and if we carry that baggage from our past, that can hinder us. Because I like the way Jason put it to me. It says, because you don't truly believe that God washed that sin away, because you remember it, and therefore you act on what you believe, you know? And I got to thinking about that, and that was exactly what the problem is, because I remember it and I hold on to it, and I was always looking back on the past. And back in Isaiah chapter 43, it talks about, and I remember Pastor Peters making a reference to this one time, and I don't remember exactly what I remember he referenced it. Isaiah 43, verse 25. Even I am the one who wipes away your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. So if we're carrying that along with us, we are telling God something that he does not know. Because if God says, I don't remember it, that means it is gone. And if we continue to carry it along with us, then we are telling God something that we don't know. Therefore, we have doubt in the true power of the blood of Jesus. And therefore, when we do pray, we're carrying it, and that creates the doubt. So I was sitting there kind of thinking about that. I'm like, that's the problem. I'm the one that's the problem. It's not God. It's me.
So, well, that's usually the way it works.
Exactly.
It's one of those things, too, I've thought about it a lot, and I don't mean to interrupt you here, Zach, but when Christ forgives me and I don't forgive myself, think about this. Where does that put you in relationship to Christ? If Christ forgave your sins and your transgressions, and you don't do that yourself, you are putting yourself in a position above Christ. You're putting yourself up higher than Christ. Because he said, it's a done deal. I wash away. I forgive you. And mm-hmm. you can't do that yourself. And that's a dangerous place to be when a person puts themselves in that position where they're in elevating themselves to a position higher than Christ.
You're absolutely right. And, that's some place I don't want to be.
No.
But, you know, I mean, those are basically, in a nutshell, my thoughts that I've had for the last week. And, you know, and I just thought, well, maybe Jason will let me on. I'd like to see what the other guys, you know, what their thoughts were on it. And, you know, so that was my topic. And I think it should be talked about because I'm still in a flesh and blood body. And it's something that, you know, it's something that is, that you struggle with every single day. So, you know, unless I'm the only one, you know, that's just what I felt like it should be talked about this morning.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think it's something that, you know, I think it's something that, you know, I just people, a lot of times it just takes something being pointed out when you can realize what the problem is, and I think that you did an excellent job on describing the problem. I thought it was really interesting, the point that you talked about, that, you know, that blood and that signature and how it was always there. I actually did not know that until you were telling me that yesterday on the phone, and I thought that was a pretty interesting analogy. I thought about that the rest of my trip home after talking to you. It just... you know, it's one of those things that is so important when we apply that blood of Christ to ourselves. You know, you got to realize that does cleanses us clean. And
100%.
Amen.
Exactly, 100%. I mean, it's an absolute clean. And you know, when we sin afterwards, I mean, there's times where we've got to plead the blood of Jesus Christ. And I thought about that, just, you know, how important it is when we plead the blood of Jesus. When we plead that blood of Jesus, that's saying that we're carrying that signature of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I mean, that is saying we belong to Him. Mm-hmm. He's our Savior. He's our Deliverer. He's our Redeemer.
You know, and then, not to get off topic, but, like, my mentality, especially after the election... and everything like that, I've heard it on, like, coffee in the last few weeks, was, you know, we don't need to be getting into ourselves into a position to where we feel as a nation, and especially us with this ministry, that we dodged a bullet. You know, me personally, I feel like now's the time to pounce. Now's the time to be, you know, out there pushing the word of God, out there giving a biblical description, definition of sin. Now's the time to really lay the hammer down, you know, because, you know, when I go down to Branson, all those acres of diamonds men there, you know, I can remember the first time that I walked in there, and this will be my ninth year going down there, you know, all those guys down there, and all the ones that don't show up, those guys are warriors, you know, and anything to benefit them, you know, we need to do, and, you know, just our train of thought, our thought process, you know, who's in proper authority, you know, why we are in the position we're in, because God chose us. So, you know, we really need to have our ducks in the row, in a row the next few years with the way things are going, because, I mean, you've seen the blue-collar people pretty much get up and spit in the face of the politicians and the media because they're fed up. They might not necessarily know why, but, you know, I believe that it's my job to explain to them why. I know, you know, this ministry points out why the mechanics of why things are the way they are. They bring it into perspective to why things are happening the way they are. And, you know, and I feel it's our duty to point that out. And if we're sitting there carrying around this, any type of doubt, baggage from the past, we won't be able to do it, you know.
Well, the thing about that situation you're talking about, Zach, with the presidents, you know, I heard more people talk about praying about that election, you know, and praying for our country in the past that it was headed than I ever had before. And I believe whenever we do humble ourselves and turn and seek and we pray, that God hears our prayers and he can and will deliver us. I'm not saying that they're naming Trump as a deliverer by any means, but he can be whatever God wants him to be. And
absolutely.
So that's my thoughts on it. It's not of, you know, of anything that somebody did with their hands, but it's through answered prayer. And as you said, you know, we've got a different tone right now than we've had in a long time throughout the country, and it's our responsibility to take that and use it, and you know, to help spread the truth to people and continue that the eye-opening that's been going on.
I agree.
Amen. You know, guys, in 2 Timothy, this thought occurred to me, Zach, when you were talking about that, you know, meeting with the men, but also in this time, having the right explanation, not sitting back, but being able to share the true gospel, to share why things are the way they are. I liked how you put it earlier, to be able to let people know the true biblical definition of sin, because they've been lied to for so long, and you know, you start talking about the Bible, and it is very cloudy to most people that are just out there. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth." And you know, that's what we try to do, and it doesn't just come natural. You know, what does come natural is, like you said, having that doubt and remembering the sins of our past. You know, those type things do seem to come natural. That's what the natural man wants us to remember. But if we'll be diligent, if we will, you know, read and study his word, you know, abstain from evil, abstain from the things we're not supposed to, and practice the things that we are, the righteousness, the truth, then we can accurately handle, we can accurately have that word in season and out of season, you know, for the remnant today. And Josh, absolutely, it sure seems like there's more and more people that are sharing that they've been praying. You know, we have seen that all over, it seems like, or we've gotten reports of it from all over the country, of people doing that very thing. And as we're into this time of change, it's a change for the better. And, you know, being able to point, Zach, that verse you pointed out, Isaiah 43:25, being able to take, you know, wouldn't you think that you could, when you read this, I, and of course this is God Almighty speaking through his prophet, I am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake. I mean, he's describing Jesus Christ there, of course. Wouldn't you think the churches that are just what they call New Testament Christians, New Testament churches, you know, maybe now's the time for, you know, for these type scriptures to be shared with them, and them to come out of the fog that they've been out, that they've been in, to come out of the spell that they've been under. maybe. I think the times are changing. They are. They are. And Zach, one other scripture, and then I'll turn it back over to you guys. But when you started out, you know, again, then that Matthew 21, you know, having faith and not doubting. And, you know, that doubt comes in when we do remember the sins of our past, when we remember the things that have been wiped away. And Jason made a great point. What we put ourselves higher than God if we will not forgive what he's forgiven. If we won't. And in Philippians 3, in verse 13, it tells us, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And, you know, that's part of the forgiveness story. That's part of the gospel. That's part of the instructions that were given, the handling accurately of the word of truth, and that's, there's hope in that. You know, that when there is recognition of that sin, when there is repentance, when there is, then there can be forgiveness. And, you know, how are we forgiven of our sins? But when we repent and are baptized, and then forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. And, you know, that's part of that message of hope for the people, but they don't hear that. And it's not just, well, I've read it and I believe it. But there's action that has to go along with that. And, of course, that action being belief, repentance, baptism, and so forth.
Yeah, we definitely have to, you know, portray the Word of God as accurately as we can to the best of our knowledge. There's no question about that, you know. And I don't know if it's just in my spirit, but you know, I don't think like whoever's elected, if the people. The problem is at the pulpit. And if the people don't get it straight, then it doesn't matter who's standing in that office. God said this is the way it's going to be, one way or the other. And people get the government that they deserve because of the lack of fear of him, you know. And what's been spread across this country, you know, for the last 100, 120 years, in my opinion, is Markianism. They think it's two different gods. Well, it's not. It's the same. God is the same as he was back then, today, and forever. Same rules, same way he operates, the same way, you know.
Amen.
And those that are properly baptized, they truly are chosen by God. And, you know, we pray on the armor. Well, that means we have to go and do spiritual warfare. And, you know, and if we have things that we are remembering, and like Jason said, then that puts us above God, that it, you know, we will fail if we don't get it right. That's just the way I look at it. And, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm harsh, but it's either you are or you are not. There's no in between.
Yeah.
And, you know, people shouldn't mistake the fact we're not talking about a free pass where you can go do anything you want to and then
no.
Exactly.
Come back and pray for forgiveness and, you know, forget about that yesterday and keep on sinning today. I mean, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking right. about true repentance,
Absolutely.
Which is whenever you're changed, that's going to take place, and it does take place, and you hate that old guy that, you know, that you put to death in that watery grave because you don't want to be that sinner. You don't want to be the one that brings God's wrath on your family or whatever the case may be, because we know that whenever we sin, there are consequences from that sin. And there's no, it doesn't have to be condemnation from the sin, but there are consequences that we've got to deal with. And there's no free rides. So I don't want people to think that that's what we're saying, for sure.
No, and if you
Absolutely.
Look at...
Absolutely, yeah.
at these New Testament writings, these letters, you know, the majority of them were written by a guy named Paul, who used to carry a name with him, you know, used to be known by Saul. And, you know, he had sinned greatly in the eyes of God. And he writes in his writings that he had, you know, he was the chiefest of sinners, I think is how he puts it. The chiefest. Not just a lowly Indian, not just a little grunt over here. He was the general. He was, as he puts in his writings, the chiefest, the worst of all. And then he tells about grace, and then he tells about, but he changed. There was a change. And when you read about it back in Acts, you see that he had a conversion, but then he had a repentance, and then it says he was baptized. And, you know, again, that's part of that accurate word of truth that so many today have missed. Yeah, you don't just keep, you know, going out the way you are. There's a local church here that some of our neighbors go to, and they've talked about how, oh, they had a church split a couple years ago over the homosexual issue, whether they would welcome homosexuals into the church or not. And, you know, they just do not accurately hold the word of truth. You know, and they split over whether they you know, should accept them in and let them continue to be in, you know, and continue bringing their partners and you know, continuing to practice sin and still come and worship with, you know, the body. And you, it's things like that I think that it's time, just like you're saying, Zach, and like it seems to be the topic today, is of accurately handling the word of truth and letting the people know, listen, this is sin. This is sin, you know. And then, the people have that choice, who they're going to serve, if they're going to serve the flesh or if they're going to serve God. But there has to be a change. There has to be that repentance and that change. And you know, we have to remember that, and I think we can share that with the people, is to let them know that, you know, Paul, the writer here, he had to do that very thing. Just like Christ doesn't, you know, write and expect us and tell us to do things that he hasn't done, whether it's forgiveness or healing or whatever it is. He was our example, as well as Paul. You know, he had sin, he repented, he changed, and then certainly his, you know, he was zealous for God. He had that desire to share the gospel with all that he came in contact with. And you know, when I think of what he went through, you know, the change that he went, and then he's writing, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. You know, that's what we are to do. And recognize that blood of Christ has been applied, and it washes us clean, it prepares us, it allows us to put on that full armor of God. And then we are able to participate in that spiritual warfare.
Yeah, I'd like to elaborate on like what John said. Yeah, it is definitely not a free ride just to do what you want. You know, we do need to understand that there are consequences, and it's just not on ourselves when we do screw up. It goes out farther. It goes to family, ministry, everything, you know, to the country, your neighbors. I mean, so it's very important to understand that it's not something that you can just, you know, have as a safety check valve, you know, and think that you can use it at all times, because, yeah, you know, God won't allow that. So I just thought that, you know,
right.
I agree with Josh that it, you know, that we shouldn't, you know, think, oh, it's a free pass. It's not, you know. There are consequences, and it goes farther than, you know, what we even realize. So, you know, be careful, but, you know, be loyal. Be loyal to God, you know?
As we go along in our Christian walk, we're supposed to learn more. We're supposed to have more knowledge and more understanding. And we know whenever we have more, that more is expected out of us, just as our children. You know, we hold them more accountable as they get older and they are more mature. And it's the same thing with us in our walk. Because, you know, God holds us accountable for, or more accountable for things whenever we know that we're sinning. I'm going to say 90-something percent of the time, even in the past, if I didn't know the scripture that told me that something was wrong, whenever I did it, I pretty much knew it was wrong anyway because we have the law of God on our hearts. But whenever you can cite the chapter and the verse, you know, and the word, we're telling you where this is wrong, this is the penalty of it, as being a more mature Christian, the scripture leads me to believe that we are more responsible for our actions.
Amen. Well, guys, we got a caller this morning. Brother Willis has called in. Good morning, Willis.
Good morning, men. Hey, just had a couple of comments on the subjects here you guys are talking about this morning. One is as far as the state of mind of the people in the nation now. They're looking in the right direction. They're looking up because they know where their help can come from. So I think now, at this point in time, what we need to focus on is that Acts 2:37 and Acts 2:38, and that is repentance, because the people have been brainwashed into tolerance over the last generation or so, and they've kind of forgot about what actually sin is and what the ramifications of it are. And I think that message of repentance and then baptism for the remission of sin is even needs to be preached even stronger now than even in the past, because the people are looking in the right direction, but they just haven't quite figured out what the problem is. So I think as long as we can focus people on the problem, then the nation will be much better off. And on the other subject that Zach was talking about, as far as doubt, you know, that's kind of like self-condemnation, and I think what we need to do is kind of rewire our brains a little bit, but not necessarily condemn ourselves in the back of our mind during prayer, because we remember these things that in our old lifestyles, but use those things to keep it in the back of our minds, not necessarily to condemn ourselves, but to realize where we were at before and to accept that redemption and that salvation that's been granted to us by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and kind of use it as a tool, as a reminder, not to do those things where we were at before. You know, even Saul went on and talked about all the things that he doesn't want to do that he does, but he was remembering all the sins of his past, but he was using it to his advantage. I don't know if I'm getting my point across, but that's kind of what I had to say.
Yeah, sure. Guys, I apologize. I'm going to have to hop off here. Got a phone call ready to catch a couple of calves. Thank you for having me.
thanks for joining us. Yeah, thanks, Josh. No, Willis, I do. I think I sure think I understand what you're saying. That you know, that's what Saul did. What Paul did is he remembered, you know, what a great sinner he had been, of course, in the bad sense. But that, you know, that just increased his faith that much more. It increased his understanding of grace that much more, and of forgiveness. You know, so that, and of course, it's written down so that we can we can have it here, and you know, we can do our best to understand it and apply it, but then also to be able to share it with the world. And we've certainly been trying to do that. I know each and every one of us have. You know, maybe now that the people are looking in the right direction, they'll start hearing it better. They'll start seeing it a little more.
And I think it's sort of like that old adage where, you know, history repeats itself. And if we forget the history, then it repeats itself. But if we remember somewhat that history, then that enables us not to do those wrong things again.
So. Amen. Amen.
Well, that's all I had to say. You guys have a blessed weekend.
Thanks for calling, Willis. You too.
You too.
Yep. Right. Goodbye.
Zach, I think it's an excellent topic. When you mentioned earlier that at that crime scene, the blood will leave a signature. I wrote down here, you know, the blood of Christ leaves a signature as well. It should leave its mark on us, right? And that mark should be on us forever. And that is why we do have to remember. Remember the history. Remember back in Isaiah when he says, he's the one that cleanses us, that wipes out our transgressions. And it's not for us. It's for his own sake. It's to glorify him, not to make us anything. But, you know, I think about, where is it, in Ezekiel, and then I think in Revelation it talks about that mark. Not the mark of the beast, but those that have the mark of Christ, those that are marked. And it's that blood of Christ that does that, that leaves its signature on us.
Excuse me, I just lost my train of thought. You know, we signed up for this when we made that decision. You know, we need to really understand when we made that decision to go into that burial of baptism, we signed up for it. And, you know, I've heard a lot of people say, it doesn't mean it's going to get easier. It's definitely going to get tougher because you have so many things as far as the world coming at you. You know, I didn't move. I still live in the same area that I grew up in. People still know me. They knew what I was. And, you know, so they like to point that out, especially when you're trying to have your own, you're living a different code of conduct, and they still remember, you know. And they're not, you know, I know a few people, they don't hesitate to point that out to me. And, you know, so there's so many ways that can come back and, you know, try to bite you. And, you know, and I agree with Willis, you know. We are not to forget what we were saved from. There's no question about that. But still, you know, just I really think human nature will kind of let get the best of you, you know, when you're trying to do something, and you know, or somebody that knew you, you know, when you're trying to tell them something. Well, you know, it was good enough for you back then, and now all of a sudden it's not. You know, right. They're still holding you at that level that you were before. And, you know, and we just simply are not. And we signed up for it, and therefore, you know, I believe we have a job to do. And, you know, and any little piece of knowledge that I could get to make, that way it'll help me act on what I now believe, I'm willing to accept.
Amen. Amen. Guys, we got another caller, Bill. Let me bring him on. Good morning, Bill. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. I think that was a good point that Zach made about, forgetting your sins as God has done. And I think it may be a result of something that I've been thinking about and struggling with. And it was mentioned before, it's been mentioned before, but I think Jen mentioned it about a month ago or so. About, you know, loving yourself and, well, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, if you don't love yourself, how are you going to love your neighbor? or God or anyone else, you know. And I think perhaps, you know, doing a lot of that remembering of my own sins, you're living with them. I mean, you know, Paul lived with his sins through torture and torture, imprisonment, death, everything else. I think this remembering your sins is possibly a result of just not loving yourself, and I've been working on that, you know. I know it's a lot of people think it may be narcissistic or something like that, but I think, you know, there has to be a balance, obviously. I mean, some people just act as if they love only themselves and no one else, and maybe they don't love anybody. But I think Josh mentioned there are consequences. Of course there are, as there were with Paul. And it's kind of tough to strike a balance sometimes. Because on the other hand, you do want to forget and you want to do all these things, but by the same token, you know, if you're, especially later in life, you know, if you've gone through some of this stuff, if you went up a road and you just barely escaped with your life and you escaped a washed out bridge or something like that, I mean, the first thing you'd want to do on the way back is warn everybody, hey, look, you know, I've been out to that bridge.
Right.
I just escaped with my skin.
Yes. And that's what, you know, that's what Saul did when he
converted. Yes, he did.
He did, you know, for the rest of his life. He did that very thing. It's a good example for us.
He certainly did.
To do that. You know, Romans 8:1 comes to mind. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But if you read a little bit before, you know, they really didn't have the chapter and verse breakdowns when it was being written. When you read a little bit before that, you know, it starts two verses before that. It says, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin." And the next sentence, "Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." And, you know, it is. Sometimes we have that battle. I think you talked about that, Zach, and we have that battle, but praise God, there's no we can stand on that truth. We can rightfully discern that truth. You know, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Well, how do you get in Christ Jesus? Well, that's another program. You know, that's where we go with that, to let the people know. Hey, you can get in Christ. Does it mean that your neighbors don't, you know, that they forget everything you've ever done? No, not at all. You can bet Saul of Tarsus, you know, when he was traveling around, probably had old soldier buddies come up to him. "Saul, how you been? Let's go have an ale," you know, and he had to confront that.
Well, I don't care about my neighbors who remember what I was. I mean,
well, it just
my biggest enemy. You know, we have met the enemy, and the enemy is us. Yeah. I mean, that's the same as what Zach was thinking. I mean, sometimes your biggest opponent is the guy you see in the mirror when you're shaving in the morning.
Right.
And it is a difficult balance. Even the scripture you just quoted about, you know, wretched man that I am. I mean, we talk about the I ams, and that certainly wouldn't fit an I am. But that'll show you the difficulty, the balance of getting this right.
Right.
You know, but I think we don't want to err on the side of not being able to love. I think maybe in this day and age, this whole idea of what love really is has been so polluted and perverted.
Oh, it has. It sure has.
I think that there's people growing up that have no idea what it is.
Oh yeah, just like they have no idea what and who God and Jesus really are. They have this, you know, this fake God and fake Jesus that's been presented to them. Zach, I think you had a comment.
Well, I like how in that book, The Light and the Glory, when the authors are going through the history of the Puritans, and those guys, the Puritans, they understood that their biggest enemy wasn't Satan. It was themselves. And then like when they found out that people had screwed up and stuff in the church and how they dealt with it in the church and in the law, because they had their own commonwealth that was separate from Britain, you know, it worked perfectly, you know. And that's why they were able to endure so much more than what other settlements did. how other settlements handled things is because God was the foundation of their commonwealth. And, you know, it was God, man, church, however they set it up. But they understood that when there was sin in the camp, things started going wrong. And they knew the gig was up. And, you know, when it came right down to it, they figured out, okay, we got to do some repentance here, and because we screwed up, because this isn't going to fly unless we have God on our side. So, you know, we need to think that way, you know. And if anybody hasn't read that book, you know, they should really get it. And I know the ministry offers it. And, you know, it kind of gives you an insight of their code of conduct, the Pilgrims and the Puritans and, you know, the original foundation of this country. And it tells you how this country made it. And yep. It is strictly 100% by the hand of God.
Yeah.
You know, and we need to know that.
Amen.
And we need to know the reason why it's going backwards is because we're paying attention to all these dirty birds. And, you know, and they don't believe that the law applies anymore. Well, you know what? The Pilgrims and the Puritans, they believed that is the rule, you know. And they dealt with things accordingly.
And they were blessed because of it. And this nation was blessed because of it.
Yeah.
Yes, they were.
Yep. Well, Bill, thanks so much for the comments. Have a blessed day, brother.
Good morning.
All right. God bless.
Okay.
Well, we've got...
You got any thoughts?
I'm here.
Okay.
No, I think that it's one of those things, like you said earlier too, it's that, you know, just being able to recognize that it's that guilt, that doubt, that guilt and that unforgiveness that we often face on when we're thinking about ourselves. And how, I mean, you think about something hindering prayer, prayer is one of the most important things that we can do. And, you know, when we're trying to perfect that, that is, you know, as we strive to perfect it, I should say, you know, when we are working on that, you know, anything that we can do to improve that prayer power is a really good thing. It's something that's important. And I think that that's, you know, that doubt, that guilt that we sometimes carry, and just that elevating ourselves above God. I mean, we want to pray to God and we want God to do this, but we, you know, it's kind of a double-mindedness on a different standard too, if you think about it. You know, I'm praying to my Heavenly Father and I believe that He will do this and this for me, but at the same time, I don't believe that He can forgive me for this baggage that I'm carrying or these sins that I've had in my past. You believe that I can heal your little girl or, you know, mend a bone back together, but you don't believe that I can forgive you of, you know, this sin that you keep carrying around on your shoulder.
Yeah. Amen. Very good point, yeah. Jason. We do. We have to guard ourselves. It is that daily fight of faith, isn't it? We have to guard ourselves to make sure that we don't become double-minded. You know, and that's that increase our faith, you know, and faith comes from hearing from the Word of God. It's one of the reasons we have pushed and will push all next year, the good Lord willing, the Bible reading plan, to read your Bible, You know, today it's Habakkuk, this 24th of December. And Habakkuk 2, listen to this one verse. See if it applies. I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch to see what he, meaning God, will speak to me, and how I may reply when I am reproved. And, you know, this is what the prophet is saying, and this is what we are to say today, that, hey, I'll stand my guard post and stand stationed on the rampart. What is that, you know, reference to? Being a watchman on the wall, fighting that daily fight, being disciplined. I'll stand on my post. I will do that. And I'll keep watch to see what he, God, will speak to me, and how I may reply when I am reproved, you know, when I'm disciplined. And I don't know about you, but that, you know, that speaks to me. That lets me know that, you know, hey, in days of old, this is how they spoke to God, and this is the you know, the discipline that they had, no matter how they, what they felt, no matter what their feelings were, they overcame them. And that's what, you know, that's what we do today. We read his word, we remember that his blood has that mark on us. His blood has washed us clean. And, you know, and it came for the country. I had a guy yesterday, my sons are in town, and we spent the day together, and one of their friends, as we'd spend a little time together, as we were leaving, I had my God Save America Again hat on. And the young man said to me, he said, "So, are you a Trump man? I saw your hat." And I said, "Well," I said, I'm more of a Jesus man." And he said, "I like that." He gave me a thumbs up. He said, I like that." He said, "Well, I just saw your hat about, you know, saving America." And I took it off and I showed it to him. And I said, "Yeah," I said, "that's our prayer today. God Save America Again." You know, we as a nation, as a people, we have a tainted past, but we still have that hope, and, you know, that if the repentance will be there, boy, 2 Chronicles 7:14 comes to mind, then, you know, the forgiveness will be there. Jason, you mentioned working towards it, not arriving there yet. I think some along those lines it caught my eye. And back here in Philippians 3, we read that verse 13, but verse 12 that leads into that says, "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect." No, we haven't. It's a journey that we're on, you know, trying to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, doing the best to forget for what we have done in the past, of course, through repentance, through change, but not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. And, you know, it's while we're still here, while it's still day, we haven't arrived. We haven't obtained it, but we strive for it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. You know, and it's one of those things that too is we got to, you know, just be careful to stay away from, you know, going back into a sinful lifestyle too, because yes, we want to make sure, you know, and I don't want people to get the wrong impression by anything that we said or anything like that. You know, we talk about it, but it's like once we're bought and paid and get out of that, it's you know, it's important to, you know, to strive to stay out of it.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, we definitely don't want to, where does it say that in Hebrews, to crucify Christ all over again.
Right.
You know, it's a very serious subject. I mean, yeah, I agree with Jason, and I'm sure Richard thinks so too. I mean, we're not saying this is a free pass, by no means. It's serious business. And because we do have a duty, and, you know, we are held to a different standard than everyone else, because we know, you know, we know the truth. We know what Jesus went through. We know why, what Jesus went through and for who, you know. And Like one of the things that Bill said there, you know, is people have a distorted definition in their brain of love. You know, well, I tell you, you know, you start telling people about God's love, you know, a lot of times they don't like to hear it, but they have to.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes.
And you know, and I do know it's not exactly the funnest guy. It's not the funnest place to be that guy telling them, you know, because you know I've had to do it, and so, you know, you are definitely held at a higher standard. And you know, it's not a free pass. There's no that impression. If that impression was given out by any means, that is not what I meant.
No, not
any, you know, that's not what we right. mean. So,
right there has to be repentance. There has to be God's ways are higher than ours. His way is right, and you know we can come to Him, but then you know He loves us so much we have to change. We have to change, you know. And one more verse out of Philippians, and it's in First Philippians, verse 27. It says, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And, you know, when I read that, when I read other scriptures, I see that I fall short many times. You know, but when I read it, it gives me that I try to attain to. You know, and thank goodness we have that blood of Christ. We have, because we've been obedient to Him, we are working on getting our obedience complete, that we, you know, we can go to Him. We do have that forgiveness, but yeah, it's not a free pass. And that's something that, unfortunately, the church world just, you know, they seem to push that it is a free pass. Do whatever you want to do. God's already done it all. And it just is not that way. Well, guys, we're about out of time. Thanks so much for taking the time this morning. And Zach, I got a page full of notes. I was encouraged and edified by your comments this morning. And I'm sure that many out there of the remnant were as well. So thanks again for bringing
that. Well, good
deal.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Yep. And Jason, great. Good things. Thank you for setting all this up. And folks, we'll invite you. Now, tomorrow the world looks at it as Christmas Day, and we're still planning on having church at the LaPorte Church of Christ. So we encourage you to join us there. You can do that at the website. And join us starting at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast at scriptures4.org. Again, that's scriptures4america.org. And at 10 o'clock, just go right there, and on the left-hand side, click on the live video stream, and you can click on whatever type of streamer you got or player you have, Flash or Windows Media or whatever. You can even look at it on your smartphone and join us for church. We encourage you to do that. And we it's our prayer that you'll be edified in doing so. Well, guys, thanks again. We're going to go out with a song that I think everybody knows and likes. I sure do. Guys, good Lord willing, we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hell and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake hide. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more, snake hide.
Move it, move it, move it. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving.